is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The federal government, the transformation of the federal government into the digital universe. There are special languages, and I need help. Francis Rose, who is the host of The Daily Scoop at FedScoop, his conversations with the federal government, with people who work with it, contractors, former employees of the federal government, and we're focusing on digital transformation for the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force. In other words, the guys with the sharp sticks. Okay. Francis, you spoke to a young man, Raj Iyer, who works with the Army on Project Convergence, you tell me. What is that before we wander into the other services? Good evening to you, Francis.
Good evening, John. Thanks for the warm welcome. I'm sure that Raj would be happy to know that you termed him a young man. He's the chief information officer of the Army, and Project Convergence is the Army's piece of what the Defense Department is putting together to provide data to the warfighter. And the kind of the overarching theme of this effort is any data to any shooter, anytime. They want each person who is in a warfighting environment to be able to access whatever information they need to be able to overmatch the enemy. Project Convergence is the Army's piece of that. The Navy and the Air Force are building out their pieces of it, and then there's a framework that connects all three of the services together, John.
This sounds science fiction, all right? It's a long way from word processing, fine. You're talking about data management that immediately suggests security, doesn't it, Francis? We're talking about something that the enemy would want, the adversaries would want as well, even during war military exercises. Let's not say it's a war. We're just prepping for combat. This amount of information flowing, is that immediately a security problem?
Well, I wouldn't say problem. It's a security consideration, yes. And it's a security consideration for two reasons. One, as you alluded to, an adversary in battle, an enemy, would love to be able to access the information that the military is exchanging amongst itself and sharing with allies and partners. And to be clear, that element of this data sharing has been explicitly stated, not just by Raj Iyer on my podcast today, but all throughout the conversations that have happened about all of the individual services and all of the services collectively talking about this information sharing. They're expanding this effort as time goes on so that we can also provide this information to those that are on the battlefield on our side, whether they're carrying the American flag or not. So that's one issue. Certainly China would love, or Russia, or whoever the adversary happens to be, would love to get access to that information and see it. But the other thing that is maybe more challenging for the services is the adversary would just like to disrupt it, the same way you disrupt the supply chain so the soldiers don't get fed, or the sailors, airmen, marine guardians don't get fed. Same idea with data. If they're not fed the data, that will essentially make them blind on the battlefield. And that is, so it's kind of a two-pronged effect that the security leaders in the department are thinking about.
One more acronym, JADC2. You said it so quickly. What is JADC2?
So that stands for Joint All Domain Command and Control. And that's that overarching framework that connects all of the services together. So Raj Iyer talked on my program today about an exercise that he went and saw firsthand in Guam that was for the Army's version, which is called Project Convergence. The Navy's is called Project Overmatch, and the Air Force's is called Advanced Battle Management System. And each of those systems will feed into and interact with each other through the Joint All Domain Command and Control System. There has been discussion over time as to whether the individual services should just all be contributing to one, but that's not the nature of the military services, the way the Defense Department's operated historically. And so where we find ourselves today is with each of those services working on their contribution to JADC2.
They're conducting experiments now. Did the experiments suggest immediately that a combatant commander says to himself, or talking into his headset, I want to know where the, and then he names units that are supposed to be on the way. Is this supposed to be able to provide him that information in real time? He asks a question just as if it was a robot and it answers him?
Well, I think it's the goal is for the system to be even more immediate than that. The system is to be able to provide the information that a combatant commander and eventually further down the chain would want, so that that person just needs to refer to a dashboard or a screen to get that information. Those big questions, I think the highest level leaders of the military will expect to be answered immediately without having to ask. But that's the reason why this concept of any data to any shooter any time is so important, because you know, we're thinking about scenarios, and I've talked to military leaders on my various programs about the concept of having the information to make a decision about whether something really is a military target or it's just, potentially an accidental civilian target. Those are millisecond decisions for which there's not time to ask a question and get a response. That information needs to be available. So that's the precision that the department is aspiring to when it's building this system. Yes, it will do what you suggested, but the goal is for it to do it even faster and even more anticipatory than you suggested, John.
A revelation in warfighting, because I'm reading now about the Cuban Missile Crisis and the Executive Committee of the National Security Council making decisions was a day behind the actual facts out there. They couldn't get any closer in 1962. They're debating, should we launch strikes or should we intercept these Soviet vessels going to Cuba? They'd already turned around and they didn't have real-time data. There was a lot of guessing going on, and you're eliminating all of that. So let's go to what Raj tells us he's involved himself with, Operation Overmatch at Guam. I noted the location, Guam. And then Operation Over, and then with the Air Force in Europe, what we're looking at is two aspects of the same scenario of warfighting. Guam would be at the center of a combat in East Asia, and the Air Force's operations out of, say, Poland or Germany would be at the center of operations in Europe. They're experimenting for what can happen. Is that the way to interpret this, Francis?
I think your interpretation skills are right on point, John. To be clear, that's not how Raj framed it, but I don't think that's how Raj has to frame it. I don't think you have to be too much of a scholar of world affairs to understand that that's exactly the scenarios for which the department is practicing. Those are exactly the scenarios for which they want to be ready to go at a moment's notice. You know, the Army's slogan is they're ready to fight tonight. And so those exercises that you're outlining, I think that's a very able read of where they're going. I will say that the challenge that the services are up against in doing these is the silos that I alluded to earlier.
Right.
You know, they're practicing working with the Army and the Air Force together, the Army and the Navy together. And the detractors of this methodology, this architecture over time, have said that's exactly the situation that one system would have avoided. But as I said, we are where we are, and we need to move forward, I suppose, they believe, from where they are today, rather than starting from scratch.
Francis Rose, the Daily Scoop of the Fed Scoop. This is CBSi in the World. I'm John Batchelor.